Hey, what's up, God's people? It's me again. It's Pastor Tony. Listen, I am so excited to be back with you again. I want you to do me a favor for me on this Wednesday night. I want you to hit like. I want you to hit share. I want you to tag somebody. I want you to let somebody know that World Overcomers Christian Church is online, and there is a relevant word for them here tonight. Pray that you've been blessed by the worship thus far, and pray that you're having a blessed week, and you're walking in God's victory. Listen, I have another word for you tonight that is going to be in the vein of still building your faith. We are still building your faith because y'all know without faith, it's impossible to please him. Everything we do, we should do it in Jesus' name, and we should do it through the vehicle of faith. Amen? So I want you to get your pens, get your pads, get your device, whatever it is. We're going to get into the Word of God. Y'all ready? Let's go. I want you to go with me to Philippians, the first chapter. Philippians, the first chapter. We're going to talk about faith. We all know that this, we're at the end of the year, we're in the last quarter, and the year is winding down, and when the leaves are starting to change, and you know, we just feel the season change. The daylight savings time has already kicked in, and it's getting darker sooner, and all that kind of stuff. And so we tend to, this part of the year, to start gearing things down, putting things in cruise control. So you know what, I'm just getting ready for the first of the year. But let me tell you something. God still wants to work the miraculous. God still wants to blow your mind. Y'all say, I didn't need those other months of the year. I can revolutionize your life in these last couple of weeks that remain in 2021. But I need you to stay locked in, and I need you to work your faith, okay? So we're going to start right here at Philippians, the first chapter. First verse, it says this, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ which are at Philippi, with bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from our God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all for making a request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And here is our focus here. Being confident in this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you. Point to yourself and say me. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Oh, man, I read all that other stuff because Paul was very eloquent in his salutations and all that stuff. But the heart of that I want you to focus on is six here, being confident. Confident in what? Paul is writing to the church of Philippi and say, look, all that you've been through, all the naysayers, all the people that are coming against you, all the things that you've done, that's great. But out of all the things, if I want you to take away from what I'm saying today, I want you to be confident. Faith is all about confidence. I am standing on the stage because at some point there were some skilled carpenters who built this to handle certain load and handle so many people. So I can stand on this with confidence. I can walk around. I can do everything because I have confidence in the craftsman that built this. And what Paul is saying is to the church of Philippi and saying to us today, no matter what you've been through, no matter what you're going through, you cannot walk this walk for Jesus Christ without confidence. Somebody type confidence. We need confidence. But look, I'm not confident in a whole lot of stuff, but I am confident in this very thing, that he who began the good work in you. Let's stop right there. Who began this work? God began this work. Who gave you that vision to start that business? That wasn't yours. You were minding your own business. You were happy doing what you wanted to do. But God sowed the seed in you to start that ministry and to go back to school and to do the very thing that you're in the middle of doing right now. And when you realize it, that God began this work, it takes the pressure off. It takes the pressure off. And look at this. He goes further. He says, he who began a good work in you shall perform it. See, we are struggling too hard, y'all. We are struggling too hard because God started this thing, and he is responsible for the performance of the thing. And we start trusting in our own abilities and our own degrees and our own ability to network and hobnob with people, and we're wondering why we're tired, and we're wondering why we're taking anxiety pills and we're taking antidepressants, because we are carrying weights that we were not designed to carry. He said, he who began a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, meaning that not only is he starting the work, but he is constantly perfecting the work, that he is constantly shaping and molding and augmenting and adding to and taking away, and he is perfecting that work, and he will continue to perfect that work until Jesus comes back and comes to get his bride, which is his church. John 4 and 34, which is another scripture I want to share with you, it says this: Jesus said unto them, my meat, meaning what sustains me, what keeps me, what gives me energy, what is my reason for getting up in the morning, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, look at this, y'all, and to finish his work. Even Jesus himself, the Son of God, the one who was born just to die, the only begotten Son of Jesus, he realized that I'm not doing my work, I'm doing his work. And when we have the perspective that in our career, in our business, in raising our family, in doing what we do in the community and being a person that people rely on, that we're not doing our work, that's like a hammer saying, you know what, I built this great edifice. No, a hammer is nothing but a tool that in the hands of a master builder can build a great cathedral. We are simply the tools. We're not responsible for anything. God uses us because it is his will and his good pleasure that we be used to build his kingdom. But don't get it twisted. It's not your work. It's not your church. It's not your ministry. It's not your car. It's not your business. It is God's work. And Jesus said, it is my meat. It is the thing that holds me together. It is the reason that keeps me going when I want to quit. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and my job is to finish his work. Don't forget here that he who began the good work wants me to finish his work. Ecclesiastes 7 and 8 says this: better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof, and the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. So what are you saying? What are you saying, Pastor Tony? What are you saying? You're talking about, you know, you're talking about right here being that he shall perform it. He's going to complete the work. And Jesus said, great is my will is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work and better is in the thing. What are you talking about? What does this have to do with faith? I'm glad you asked me. My topic for the next few minutes is faith to finish. I'll say that again. We need faith to finish. The great thing, and you know, I pastor and you know lead great people, and you know people they start out and it's going to come right in the next couple of months in January, right? In about a couple of weeks, it's going to be January. People are going to have all these vision board parties and they're going to you know set all these goals with weight loss and you know and I'm starting this business and I'm joining this incubator program and I'm starting school and we start. But have you ever taken a poll of at the end of the year how many people finished? Well, it's great to start, but how many people do you know actually finish? And one thing that this scripture is saying here, that God and Jesus and the kingdom of God is obsessed with finishing. It does us no good to start if we don't finish. And I know it's middle of November, and I know you got Thanksgiving and what you gonna eat with your family. Everybody's been vaccinated, so we're getting together and we're gonna eat. And I know it may be December when you're watching this and you're gearing down. But what if the last couple weeks of the year was the divine zone and space where God wanted to do his great work, but we've put our life, our mind, and our spirit in neutral? And it may not even have anything to do with a year. But have you started something? And you started with all the passion in the world, and you were telling everybody about your dream and your vision, and you told everybody, God's going to do this through me, and God's going to do that. Man, I've got a vision. I did like Habakkuk said, and I wrote the vision, and I made it plain, and I did all this stuff, and I asked for mentors, and I paid to go to here, and I paid to go there, and it's taken a little bit of time, and we've come up against a little bit of adversity. And you know what we do? We say, you know, God has shifted my direction, and you know, we have all these Christianese way to say I quit. You know, God is leading me in another rest. You know, that season is over, and what God was doing this, and His ways are higher than my ways, and I was thinking that it was going to look like this, but when I look over my shoulder with 2020 vision, I see that God was doing this right here, and so I'm ready for my next stage, and I'm ready for my next season, and I'm ready for my next. God said, no, I didn't say that. Stop lying on me. I told you that when I woke you up in the middle of the night and I gave you that dream and vision, I intended for it to be completed. And so why should I graduate you somewhere else, something that's going to be higher and deeper, that's going to make a higher demand of you, that's going to have larger enemies and greater territories that you're going to have to take over? Why should I elevate you here when you have not completed the assignment here? Even Jesus said, the last words that he spoke in his earthly body is what, y'all? It is finished. God is a finisher. He never starts something and never completes it. And he who began the good work, he started it. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. That I never start something unless I intend for it to be a completed work. A completed work. God is a finisher. Jesus Christ was a finisher. And if we are emulators of Jesus Christ, if we are Christians, if we are imitators of our elder brother Jesus Christ, we too should be finishers. But we need faith to finish. See, it doesn't take much faith to start a lot of times. Because you got the peanut gallery, people pushing you in the back. You got emotional momentum from the beginning of the year. You're excited. But what about when it gets tough? What about when you get out there in the deep and you can't see the shore anymore and it's wavy and it's rocky and all those things are going on? Do you have faith to keep going, to put one foot in front of the other, to have the temerity and the gall to say, I will not turn around. This car does not have a reverse gear. My only gear in this transmission is to go forward because I will finish. It is my meat, like Jesus said. It is me. It is the thing that keeps me going. It is the motor that drives my engine. It is the meat for me to do the will of the Father and complete the work of the one who sent me. I don't know what your work is. It could be working with disenfranchised people. It can be starting a foundation. It could be a leader in business. It can be finishing school. It could be getting that degree. It could be starting a ministry. I don't know what it is, but everybody has an it that you need to finish. And you have to finish it with your faith. So I'm just going to talk about just a couple of reasons that we fall victim to not finishing. And what we do a lot of times is we find something new and grand and shinier to take our attention and everybody else who we told that this was going to be our thing that we do, to take it away from the fact that we did not finish. I know I'm in your business tonight, but just stay with me. It's going to get better. The first thing is, one of the reasons that we do not finish is because we simply get afraid that it was okay when we were right here at the beginning and everything seemed safe. But the further we go away from the shore where we started, the more dangerous it gets. I'm reminded of, have you ever seen people that walk a tightrope? At the circus, or you've seen people walk across a Grand Canyon or something like that, they have the little pole, And they do that for balance. And they don't need it at the beginning all that much. It's because the tension in the rope is very tight at the beginning. So they can just walk out there. And it's fine. They walk like this. But the closer they get to the middle, it gets a little bouncy. It gets a little swayy, and it becomes more dangerous. And they reach a point where the wind is blowing and all this. And so I need this stick that they have here to give me balance. And because because the further I get away from safety, the more dangerous it gets. And what we do is we get out here in the middle, and you know what? Look, when I'm in the middle, I am just as close to the end as I am from the beginning. I'm exactly in the middle, and what we do, we run back and we don't finish all because we get afraid. We get afraid of people talking about us. We get afraid of failure. We get afraid of losing friends. We get afraid of all those things. And what God said, look, I didn't say you would be absent of fear. What I told you is that I didn't give you the spirit of fear. There is a distinct difference between being afraid and having a spirit of fear. And so sometimes, in our religious minds, we feel like it is a prerequisite that we have to be fearless in order to do it. When Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was afraid. He's like, I know I was sent to die, but I don't want to do this. God, is there any other way? Jesus himself tried to negotiate his way out of his assignment. This is the same Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of one who sent me. But he was faced with, man, this is going to hurt. This is not going to feel good. This is going to be torturous. And I am afraid. But guess what he did? When he asked God, is there any other way that this cup could pass from me? And God went silent. Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will. Your will be done, God. And guess what? Was Jesus absent of fear? I would submit to you he wasn't. You know what he did? He did it afraid. And I want to challenge you today, don't look for the prerequisite of being absent of fear. Do it afraid, knowing that guess what? He leads us into still waters. He leads us beside green pastures, but he also leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. And guess what? Because he's with me, I will fear no evil. Because he's with me. God is with you, but you've got to finish. Generations are depending on you to finish. People that you don't even know yet are waiting on you to finish. And so it's okay to have fear. Just don't let fear rule you. Don't have the spirit of fear and do it afraid. There is a such thing called healthy fear. Do it afraid. Number two, one of the reasons that we don't finish is because of lack of focus. Somebody type focus. Lack of focus. See, one thing I found out about the devil is if he can't stop you, and he knows he can't stop us. He knows that he's not big enough. He's not bad enough. But what he will do, he will distract us. He will get our focus on other things. And so he will use family members. He will use the people that we trust the most. He will use people to hurt us. He'll use rumor mills, and he'll use all these types of things to get us looking at other things. Except what our goal to finish is. And the next thing you know, we're chasing this waterfall, and we're chasing this unicorn, and we're chasing this rumor, and we're trying, and there are fires that are embering up all over in our family. And because we are the lifeline to our family, everybody's pulling on you. And next thing you know, it's the end of a year, it's the end of a couple of months, it's the end of a couple of years or a decade, and you turn around and you look at all the time that you wasted. Like, man, I let life and the enemy distract me. He can't stop you. He said, but if I can get you to bite the bait of distraction, you won't finish. So are you telling me, Pastor Tony, just ignore my family? No. What I'm asking you to do, and I'm trying to challenge you to do, is to have a hierarchy. Because you all know that we are limited resources. Limited in time, limited in energy, limited in everything. And so where you pour yourself determines your priority. Say, I love you, family member. I love you this, but I don't love you to the degree that I am willing to forfeit my future and my destiny. I've got to finish. It is my meat to do the will of the one that sent me. I hope this is blessing you right now. Somebody say faith to finish. Type that, faith to finish. The third thing is, the devil can't stop you from making you afraid. If he can't stop you from distracting you and having lack of focus, he will simply just wear you out. Sometimes we don't finish because we're just tired, y'all. Anybody ever been this tired? Have you ever just been tired? Like, you know what, God, I could breathe out and just not breathe in again. I'm just so tired. I mean, it's one thing to be tired in your body, but have you ever been tired in your soul? Has your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions said, I can't take one more thing. If somebody brings one more problem, one more issue, one more dilemma, one more would you pray for me? If somebody brings one more thing to me, I'm going to just take my clothes off and run up I-40. Sometimes the devil say, hey, if I can't stop you in your spirit, if I can't stop you from your faith being and that thing, that ember being burning in your spirit, if you've got all the resources and you got all the help, I will wear you out. That's the reason the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing. Y'all got to understand, doing well will wear you out. Because it's easier to follow the way of the world. It's easier to steal, cheat, step on people, lie, connive. It's easier to do that stuff. It's easier to overlook and not have integrity. That is the easy way. And doing well will wear you out. It just will. But we can't be weary in well-doing. In due season, we're going to reap. If we faint not, meaning if we finish, if we stay the course, God's going to send help. God's going to send a second wind. God's going to send just resources and people. He's going to send you bakers and butlers that will elevate you to where you need to go. But they can't be there. They can't show up to elevate you if you quit. You'll win if you don't quit. Just don't finish. Amen. God bless you. The last thing I want to share with you as to why we don't finish is the lack of follow through. Somebody type follow through. Meaning that we started, we do it to a good degree, like 60%, 70%, 78%. And we say, oh, that's good enough. I'm going to share a story with you, somebody. Very, very, very famous story. It's a little boy named David that was bringing some cheese and some bread to his brothers. He'd already been anointed king, but went back to serve his dad and his brothers. His dad, even like, even though you've been anointed by the prophet, you still not fit to go out there and fight. And he was delivering bread and cheese to his brothers. And there was a giant called Goliath. Y'all know the story. And he was mocking the people of God. He was saying, you know, come out and bring your best champion. I'll feed him to the wolves and feed him to dogs and all that stuff. And he was cursing. And it bothered David. The king and the champion in him was already residing in him. So it bothered him. He's like, why y'all letting this guy talk to y'all like this? Like, dude, do you see him? He is, like, huge. We can't beat him. He's like what is the person going to get that defeats this guy? You know, David was advantageous. He said, yeah, you know, he's going to get married to the king's daughter. He said, okay, that's a good deal. Like, I like that. I said, I'll do it. Like, David, man, go back and tend to the sheep. Don't you got some harp lessons or something? You know, brother, you know how people try to diminish you when the boldness of a lion starts to stand up on you. They all of a sudden they're scared, but they're trying to tell you how scared you are. And so y'all know the story. He's you know, Saul tries to give him his armor. He's like, this doesn't fit. All I know is this sling. He said, look, David, how you know you're gonna do it? He said, look, when I fought the bear, I am a faithful tender to my dad's flock. And a bear came one time. And he tried to steal one of my dad's sheep. And I chased him down. I got that sheep out of that bear's mouth. And I ripped him to shreds with my bare hands. That's me. And not only that, but a lion came, and he did the same thing. You would thought he would have paid attention to what happened to the bear, and my reputation would have preceded me, but a lion came and did the same exact thing, and so I ripped him to shreds too. He said, and if the same God that delivered me from the bear, the same God that delivered me from the lion is also going to deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. Let's go back to the scripture. Look, being confident. That's what David was exuding, being confident in this very thing that he who began a good work and you shall perform it. What David was doing on the backside of the mountain, it seemed menial. It seemed like it didn't have any purpose. It seemed it was beneath his anointing and his calling, but it was building confidence. And what he did, he stood up in front of Goliath and said, "Hey, man, that's enough talking. You're going to stop talking about my people, and you're going to stop talking about my God." He's like, "Man, who sent this little Rudy guy out here, this little munchkin, to come and fight me?" And all of a sudden, David, he didn't take anybody's sword. He didn't do anything special. He did what he had always been doing. He put one smooth stone in a sling, and he threw it, and he knocked him in the forehead. Boom, penetrated him. And no doubt, they said he fell dead. But look at what he did, y'all. He did not settle with the fact that, man, y'all, I hit. He didn't turn around and say, look at me, y'all. Y'all scared of this dude. And I hit this dude with one shot from my rock. He wasn't bringing. No, what he did, he took, well, he didn't want a sword before. He took the sword out of the sheath of Goliath. And look what he did, y'all. He finished the job. He cut the head off of Goliath. He followed through. He said, look. This guy may be unconscious. He may be having a concussion. He may be having an out-of-body experience, but he may come back too. And so while I have him on the run, while I have him unconscious and on the ground and impotent and can't do anything, let me make sure that he never can harm anyone else again. And so he stood up on his chest. He took the sword out of his sheath, and he cut the head off of Goliath. He finished the job. Many of us, we get the enemy on his knees, but we don't finish the job. We get close to the end and we start celebrating. You ever seen people that are about to win a touchdown and they start showboating? They start showboating, and all of a sudden they let go of the ball right before they cross the goal line. And then they up there celebrating. Oh, I scored a touchdown. People say, "You dummy, you dropped the ball. You didn't finish the job." And David finished the work. He cut the head off of Goliath. And my challenge to you is today that you have to be a finisher. God is a finisher. His kingdom is about finishing. Jesus, the Son, was about finishing. The Holy Spirit was the finished and completed promise of Jesus Christ and God the Father. And if those things reside in us, and if we are born of God, my brother and my sister, I admonish you, you've got to finish. I don't care what it is. I don't care where you started in life. I don't care how many enemies you got. I don't care how much adversity you're faced with. You've got to finish the work. It has got to be your meat. It has got to be the thing that wakes you up in the morning. It's got to be the thing that keeps you up late at night. It's got to be the thing that won't let you rest on your laurels. It has got to be the thing, the meat, the thing that sustains you. You've got to finish the work. All these messages about faith and everything that Pastor Andy and Pastor Manny have been talking about, it's been to build your faith. And let me tell you, better is the end of a thing than the beginning of a thing. God didn't call you just to start. He called you to finish the thing. So blow the dust off that vision. Blow the dust off that dream and that business plan. Pull it out of that book. Put it out of that book. Get it off the bookshelf and say, "You know what?" And you look at it as a testament. I'm going to finish you. You've been mocking me. You've been mocking me, and I'm going to finish you because it is my meat to do the will of the Father and complete the work of the one who sent me. God wants you to finish. He's not going to make mockery of you. You're just starting something just to be starting it. The kingdom gets glory when you finish. Your children are blessed when you finish. It brings, it positions you for wealth and opportunities and windows and doors to be open when you have a finisher's mentality. The race is not given to the swift and the strong. but the one that endures to the end. What does that mean? Translate, the race is given to the person who finishes. Finish your race. Don't let the end of your race be when your heart stops beating, when your family's standing around your bed. I am determined in my life that I want to leave this world empty, having done everything that was assigned for my hands to do. And I believe that's what you want to do too. Amen? So let's be a finisher. God bless you. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for this word that has shaken us to the core. That, Lord, you have put many dreams and many visions, many plans in our heart, God. And we started some things. And we started out with a lot of emotion and swiftness in our feet. But, God, as time has passed and adversity has built up, God, we tried to finagle and negotiate our way out of finishing. But, God, you said that your word is settled forever in heaven. And, Lord, the word that you have spoken over us, the directives that you have given us have not changed. You want us to finish it. And you'll give us something new. You'll take us higher. You'll take us deeper if we only simply finish. God, we thank you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, that you will give us the boldness, the gall, the temerity, God, to get back in our position, to get back on the saddle and complete the work of the one who sent us. You sent us. We didn't start this work. God, you began this work in us, and you're going to empower us to finish the work that you started in us. God, we love you. God, we bless you. And we receive this word and trust you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. We love you. We pray that you have a blessed week now. We want you to help us to finish something. I'm going to say it every week that you see me or anytime you see anybody else. Victory Park, we need you to make your best pledge. You've got 2 years to do it, y'all. But we need you to help us complete this vision. I don't care how big, how little, how insignificant you think your seed is. Every need, every joint supplies the needs of this ministry. And we want you to be a part of what God is doing here at World Overcomers Christian Church. God love you. We bless you. Have a blessed, blessed week. And don't forget, you are a finisher. Finish by faith. God bless you. We love you. Peace.